The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a damp one.
Oh, it's wet.
Yeah. But let's pray. Yes. It's also the exaltation of the Holy Cross today.
Okay.
It's our feast day today. So let's start. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who willed that your only begotten Son should undergo the cross to save the human race, grant, we pray, that we who have known his mystery on earth may merit the grace of his redemption in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
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 The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have Hurricane Ida food distribution resources and ways that you can help. Those have been updated, so we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. We're joined by Jose Gonzalez with Sophia Institute. He is going to talk about a new podcast called Christ in the Classroom. So parents, if you're homeschooling, you're going virtual, or your kids are in the classroom, or you're a teacher, you might want to tune into this segment. I think Jose is going to have a lot of wonderful insights about that. Matt Estrade with Peace with Dementia Rosary joins us with his monthly update. And David Aguillard, he is the executive director with Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He'll give us an update and Ida relief and how we can help in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So, Damian, lots of ways for us to tune in, help the community, and do our part.
And so, we're going to probably be adding to that before it's all over with.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Hurricane Nicholas. Yes.
Oh,
Nicholas became a hurricane overnight while y'all went to bed. And made landfall at 1 a.m. this morning in Matagorda, Texas, which is between Victoria and Galveston. It was a Category 1. The winds are quickly dissipating. That's the good news. The bad news, it is moving very slow, 9 miles an hour, dumping tons of rain in Texas right now. In fact, the eye of the storm, if you want to call it that, is right over Houston. Already, they've had 5 to 7 inches of rain in the last 24 hours, and we know how tough that can be for Houston.
Yes.
But rain is going to be associated with this storm for the next 2 to 3 days as it moves slowly across Texas into Louisiana and then Mississippi. In fact, Galveston in the last 24 hours has had 14 inches of rain.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't imagine whatever beaches they have aren't probably there for now. More than 300,000 people are without power
in the
Texas area already. And as I said, it's a slow mover. Lake Charles, Homa, Thibodaux, Lafayette already getting the outer bands of the storm. And the downpours in Baton Rouge should get it around 8 o'clock this morning, and then New Orleans and Mississippi to follow. So flash flood watches are in effect from Victoria, Texas, all the way to Mobile, Alabama, because, again, it's moving so slow and dumping a lot of rain, and we don't need any more rain.
Oh, God.
Poor Lake Charles. They're getting ready to get hit again as well. Temperature-wise, if you even care at this point, Bay St. Louis is the warm spot, 79 degrees, already getting rain. Baton Rouge, 76, getting rain. Homa, Thibodaux, light rain at 78 degrees. New Orleans, cloudy and 78, but it won't be that way for long. And also on the North Shore, it's 76, which happens to be the cool spot in our area. So batten down the hatches again and get out the galoshes and umbrellas because you're going to need them.
Or just stay inside today. Maybe light a candle, a pumpkin candle, and sit and work from home today. So it's 7:05 on Wake Up. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do.
There you go.
a blessed feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. I'm Father Chris, and today's gospel comes to us from John chapter 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's gospel, we are presented with the first of three occasions when Jesus refers to his death on the cross as being lifted up. The Greek verb that is translated as lifted up has a twofold meaning. This is characteristic of St. John's writings. Hypsoo can mean to lift up in a literal sense, as Jesus will be physically lifted up from the ground on the cross, but it can also mean lifted up in the sense of exalt. Clearly, both meanings apply here. Jesus will be lifted up ignominiously from the ground when nailed to the cross, but it will also be the moment of his exaltation when, amid his terrible agony, he preeminently reveals God's great love for us. And thus, like the title Lamb of God used by John the Baptist, the mention here of lifted up alludes to the fulfillment of the servant suffering prophecy of Isaiah. For in the Greek text of that passage, the Lord says that a servant will be lifted high, using the very same Greek verb, and then it adds, and will be exceedingly glorified. Furthermore, the passage adds that the same servant, like a lamb led to the slaughter, took away the sins of many. And thus John is already preparing us to understand that the Son of Man who will be lifted up on the cross is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus unfolds the mystery of the cross by referring to the bronze serpent raised by Moses in the wilderness. In that instant, the Israelites were afflicted with fiery serpents as a result of their rebellion against God. When the stricken people gazed at the bronze serpent, the symbol that portrayed the effects of their sin, then they were healed. When we gaze in faith and love at the ultimate effect of human sin, our crucified Lord, we are healed from spiritual death and are given the gift of eternal life. No one loves like God loves. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. I'm Alicia Quivido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. Thanks so much for joining us on Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. Know of our prayers, but so many of our Catholic Community Radio family have been impacted by Hurricane Ida. We are thinking about you, especially with Hurricane Nicholas coming through. It will be a lot of rain, and I know so many people have tarps, and know of our prayers for you. We wanted to give you some different places that you can go if you need some assistance. Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, there's a medical relief team that will be in your diocese this week offering free aid. So that's wound care, tetanus shots, diabetes medicine, medicine for any kind of issues you may have, hypertension, heart disease. They're also issuing COVID tests, among many other things that they can provide. Today, all day, Tuesday the 14th, they will be at Holy Family Catholic Church in Duloc. And that's all day on the 14th. They have not let us know what the Wednesday, Thursday locations will be, but we will let you know. There will be the rest of the week, there will be medical aid there in the diocese, and we'll let you know where that is. But today, all day, on the 14th, today, Tuesday, at Holy Family Church, you can get medical assistance.
Wow, lots of resources there over in Duloc. Nice. In Montague, Louisiana, Sacred Heart of Jesus, you can pick up distribution of cleaning supplies, diapers, and so much more. That's today from noon to 3 p.m. So 12 to 3, lots of wonderful resources. I know a lot of people need cleaning supplies at the moment, so this is the place to go.
That's right. That's right. You know, in addition to cleaning supplies and other supplies that we need to pray, right? So Father David is praying without ceasing at St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church in Laplace. So Mass this morning is at 8 a.m. at the SCC. He's been going around and celebrating Mass in front yards of parishioners, and it's been at 8:30, but this morning, please take note that it will begin at 8 a.m.
Okay, wow. Well, St. Hilary Catholic Church in Raceland, there's a food pantry open daily from 9 to 3 p.m. at St. Hilary's Old School. Sunday, they will be open after the 9 a.m. Mass until power is restored. So that's St. Hilary Catholic Church in Raceland.
Right. And Holy Family Catholic Church in Duloc, we just mentioned that's the place to go today for medical care. They are, St. Thomas Aquinas is partnering with Ortho Louisiana to distribute plate lunches to the people of Holy Family Church, Catholic Church in Duloc. And that's today beginning at noon. So so it sounds like it's for parishioners only, but that's at noon at Holy Family Catholic Church. So lots of... Go ahead, Gabby.
I accidentally clicked on the Facebook Live video on my phone. I was about to pull up one of our resources we posted on our Facebook page yesterday.
Yes.
Take a look at our Facebook page because we do post a lot of different resources. I know yesterday a church has washer and dryer units in the back of their church.
Yes.
So you can go and do laundry there. I know that there are plenty of resources. Okay, so St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church, they say we have a washer and dryer truck set up in the back of church. Five sets, come wash your clothes, 10 a.m.
Awesome.
To 6 p.m. So I'm going to figure out which St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church that is.
Okay.
It's in Luling.
Yeah.
Okay. So take a look at that.
Okay, great. And there's also an opportunity Gabby shared on our Facebook page this morning to volunteer to help. So check out our Catholic Community Radio on Facebook, and you can find out some more resources there. Lots going on in the diocese, in the multiple dioceses. And if you know of something, I know some pages are not quite update this early in the morning, but if you know something, let us know, and we will share it on the radio. So we'll be up next with Jose Gonzalez, the Senior Director of Professional Development with Sophia Institute. We'll share some information with us at 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 14th. Today we celebrate the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. This feast celebrates the finding of the cross on which Jesus died. In Jesus' day, a cross was a threat to anyone who defied Rome's authority. Through Jesus' death, it became a symbol of victory. In the 4th century, St. Helena, mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, went to Jerusalem in search of the holy places of Christ's life. Among those was the Temple of Aphrodite, thought to be built over the tomb of Jesus. Constantine ordered the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre to be built on that site. During the process of excavation and construction, workers found three crosses. Legend has it that the one on which Jesus died was identified when its touch healed a dying woman. That cross immediately became an object of veneration. Both Catholic and Orthodox churches in the East celebrate the Exaltation of the Holy Cross today on the anniversary of the dedication of the Basilica. The feast entered the Western Church calendar in 629, after the cross was recovered from the Persians, who had carried it off 15 years earlier. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. And over the phone, we're joined by Jose Gonzalez. He is the Senior Director of Professional Development over at Sophia Institute Press. And today we're talking about a new podcast called Christ in the Classroom. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning. How are you, Gabby?
I am doing well, and I think I'm so excited. I think this is so relevant. I'm excited to hear more about this podcast, Christ in the Classroom. So tell us about it.
Well, this is a podcast. Our second season launches today, actually, which is very exciting. And we started it last January, sort of as a response to COVID, to provide some professional development in a remote way for Catholic school teachers and catechists. And we really had a very positive response. And so we're continuing that now, even though while there's a lot of things opening up again, there's still here an opportunity for teachers to continue to grow in their faith through just a different platform, get ideas for the classroom, and just get an opportunity to engage with their faith on in their own faith journey through the different speakers and the different topics that we address. So
Jose, there are so many parents who are have their kids in Catholic school, public school, but also going virtual. So they have switched to homeschooling, they switched to virtual work. Would you say this is geared toward them as well to help guide them kind of through their lesson plan and navigating this new adventure?
You know, absolutely. So our big philosophy at Sophia Institute for Teachers is, you know, if we're going to form students in the faith, we've got to form the adults that are forming them in the faith as well. And really the best way to do that is not necessarily like, hey, how are you a good teacher? It's how can you be a good Catholic, a better Christian, right? And so in general, if we're well-formed in the faith, then we're going to communicate that faith better to those that we love and those that we form. And so I think this is absolutely a great podcast, and there's going to be some great topics covered this year. There's some great topics that were covered last year. They're going to be great for homeschooling parents, for catechists, for DREs, for teachers, but also just your average Catholic will benefit from listening to these episodes.
Where can we listen, and are they free podcasts?
Yes. So the podcasts are totally free. You can listen. You can search us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the big podcast platforms. Search for Christ in the Classroom, and you'll find us there. You can also listen from our website. You'll find we've got a linked playlist from that we load up to Vimeo and YouTube. SophiaInstituteForTeachers.org/Christ in the Classroom. That's SophiaInstituteForTeachers.org/Christ in the Classroom. You can find all of our previous episodes, and the new ones will be uploaded there as well. So.
I love this. So you really kind of had a semester and a half, I guess, or semester and 2 months or 3 months to really kind of start your way when you started in January. What has been the response so far? Because we are in season two. How was season one and the response?
The season one response was really good. We had a lot of listeners, a lot of requests. So we have, there's a little form that teachers and catechists can fill out if they want to receive a certificate for having listened to a topic. And, you know, they fill out info. They fill out a little question proving that they listen, and then we send a certificate. We process those twice a month. And we've sent out several certificates. So there's a lot of teachers taking it and catechists taking advantage. And there seems to be several dioceses that are encouraging their teachers and catechists to listen and get some credit in the process for their catechetical formation, which has been really neat and encouraging to see. So I know we're slowly growing. There seems to be more and more listeners and more dioceses. I continue to see more and more dioceses represented through the certificate requests that are submitted. And so, it's a very exciting thing. And like I said, season two launches today. Our first episode should be live now, and looking forward to seeing what the response to season two is. We're bringing in some other exciting speakers over the next year, so you'll hear this upcoming season. You'll hear names like Jason Everett was kind, gracious enough to be interviewed, and Katie Prejean McGrady and Chris Stefanik and Deacon Harold Burke Sievers. So a lot of great names, a lot of great.
Those are good.
Catholic speakers and evangelists that are willing to share their talents with the teachers. So I hope you'll tune in.
So. Yeah, I mean, we've had Katie Prejean McGrady on. She's almost every other month on Wake Up. And Jason Everett, the first time I heard of him was Theology of the Body class in high school that I took. So he has really great resources on that as well. Those are our hitters.
Exactly. Yes. So we're very excited as things progress here, and hopefully continue to give teachers just great opportunities and great resources, both, you know, virtually and in person as we open up and begin our in-person workshops again as well. So really excited for all that we have going on and the opportunity to serve all those that are in the field, really being witnesses to our young people.
Yes. For those who are just joining us, we're talking to Jose Gonzalez. He's a senior director of professional development over at Sophia Institute Press. And there's a new podcast. It started back in January, but season two starts today, called Christ in the Classroom. Jose, how often do new episodes launch? Is it every Tuesday or every day?
Yeah, we're doing every Tuesday is the new launch. So you can look for new episodes every Tuesday. As I said, it launches today. The first episode is available, and then every Tuesday following, we'll take little breaks here and there, obviously, for, you know, Christmas time and the holidays and spring break and things like that. We'll take a week off here or there. And, our plan is to run through April, run from September to April or mid-May. So just sort of follow the school year. And then hopefully, you know, if we continue to get a positive response, we'll continue to offer these hopefully for several seasons to come. So,
right. Can you kind of give us a teaser of what the guests will be talking about?
Sure. So this first episode that launches today features our guests are Tony Brandt and Chris Stewart from Casting Nets Ministries, and we'll be talking about the evangelizing classroom and the evangelizing teacher. Next week, our episode two will feature Jason Everett and Kimberly Zember, and we're looking at addressing LGBTQ issues in the classroom. The week after, we'll have continue that conversation with a young man named Emmanuel Gonzalez and his journey. And then additionally, from there, we're going to have Chris Stefanik is going to talk about wokeism and how to address some of the progressive ideologies in the classroom. Katie Prejean McGrady is going to discuss Catholic identity and how to love your students. We have a teacher from California that I interviewed that's been one of our faithful fans for several years, named Rosemary Circle, and we're talking about how to build a pro-life culture in our schools and amongst our students. She's been doing some great pro-life work with her classes out there. Yeah, really excited for a lot of these conversations. I think they'll enjoy them. We're also having Bobby and Jackie Angel, who came on, and we talked about discernment and marriage and Christian marriage. And so just a lot of relevant topics, not just, as you can see, a lot of those topics are relevant for the classroom, but also relevant for our current modern age and for us as Catholics to just continue to stay informed and stay engaged in our faith. So I
really have to commend you, because those topics are so, so relevant that I think that the teachers and those who are teaching our students need to hear this and not shy away from the hard topics that our culture is facing at the moment. And it's ever changing and ever evolving. So I think this is so I commend you for really tackling these difficult topics and explaining to our children what they mean, because they're already asking questions. If not, they will be soon. Okay, Jose, give us one more time the website we can go to tune in to Christ in the Classroom, the free podcast.
Wonderful. Yeah, so that's sophiainstituteforteachers.org/Christ in the Classroom, or search Christ in the Classroom on any of your favorite podcast platforms, and it should be available there as well.
Wow, wonderful. Jose Gonzalez with Sophia Institute Press, thank you so much. Looking forward to the next upcoming seasons and having you join us again. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Yes.
Wow. That's so cool. I think I'm going to need to brush up on some stuff.
Yeah.
I think parents could tune in too.
Yeah, the parents. I think the parents ought to have the ability to so they could teach at home as well.
Yeah. I'm fascinated in the building a pro-life classroom. I think that's so interesting. I just, you know, we think that we need to just tell our kids all this information, you know, just, but really living it and how to live that so that it rubs off, right?
Well, also, I think it's important to stay relevant, too, because because our kids are hearing what's going on in our culture today, whether it's friends or the television or our parents, people around them. It's important to stay relevant. I think our church needs to stay relevant, and the topics need to as well. So to be taken seriously.
Right.
So great lineup.
Well,
great
is a great lineup. And our church doesn't change, right? But how we understand church teaching is important, too. That's awesome.
Yes,
I'll be tuning in, Sophia Institute Press. Yep.
Yes, Matt Estrade with Peace with Dementia Rosary joins us right after the break. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Over the weekend, Justice Amy Coney Barrett answered accusations of her being a mere partisan in abortion policy. USA Today reported the Supreme Court justice saying, "Judicial philosophies are not the same as political parties. Sometimes I don't like the results of my decisions." Barrett added, "But it's not my job to decide cases based on the outcome I want." Another brief in the Dobbs v. Jackson case asks Barrett and her colleagues to maintain abortion policies derived from Roe v. Wade. Despite ongoing polls showing most Americans oppose most abortions, they argue abortion has become embedded in our national culture. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
In other headlines, Texas abortion numbers continue plummeting, with over 1,000 now said to have been deterred. Planned Parenthood has won a suit banning only Texas Right to Life from suing abortion practitioners. The Wall Street Journal says Facebook continues using policies and algorithms that allow questionable content from abortion-friendly celebrities, content censored when coming from pro-life groups. Meanwhile, New York Governor Kathy Hochul is asking for more censorship from Facebook. And an article from Wesley Smith at Life News discusses why maternity wards are left unable to function as maternity medical workers are refusing vaccine mandates. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good Tuesday morning to everyone. 7:35 here on Wake Up. Damian Collado along with Alicia Quivido and Gabby Smith. So glad you could join us. And right now we have as our guest Mr. Matt Estrade, author of the book The Peace with Dementia Rosary and host of blog and podcast found on DementiaRosary.com. Matt, good morning and welcome to Wake Up.
Hey, Damian. Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. We are going to be talking about the second decade of the glorious mystery today, if I'm not mistaken, the Ascension. And the title of that particular chapter is Always a Caregiver Partner. Share with us what you mean by that.
Yeah, so after someone who's living with dementia passes away, you're still a caregiver or a care partner for that person. You're just not active in it because you're no longer scheduling appointments and providing care, whatever care that they need. And when that happens, when you go from a very busy situation of being an active caregiver into this this other type of role, this transition, there tends to be a void that's created because you're used to getting up and having this meaningful role. And when that happens, there can be a loss of not just that person, but of those things that you did, those great, wonderful things that you, the sacrifices you made for them. So something needs to come in and take that place. And while many caregivers, they need sort of a break from that hustle and bustle of active caregiving, many of them find solace in discerning a role. And that could be a role in advocacy with the Alzheimer's Association or other groups. It could be volunteering. It could be continuing to stay in their support group and being there as a source of wisdom and experience for other caregivers. And there's so many things that they can do. And I bring it up in the book because while not everyone is going to do that even right away, it's sort of planting a seed so that people can feel like doing that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, because when you lose someone, you do fall into somewhat of a depression. And that is the challenge. I believe you hit the nail on the head. Finding something with a purpose and moving forward versus dwelling in the loss and the sorrow.
Yeah, because you've really gained a lot. And it's a time of reflection, too. It's not just doing things for other people. It's reflecting yourself and, you know, how did I grow from this experience? And there's grief, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what we also want to focus on, what are the positive things? Because most people that I've spoken with, they find that looking back, it was a positive experience. It was an opportunity to take care of their loved ones, to fulfill their marriage vows, or to take care of their parents who raised them.
It's funny you say that, because my wife, she was the caregiver actually for my dad who had Alzheimer's. So I was working, and she wasn't, and of course raising three kids, but she took it upon herself to care for my father during the day. When he passed away, she really felt that loss as well, and wound up going to work at a retirement community.
Wow.
And has been doing that now for 13 years. And so she found her purpose, and it was almost like she found her calling in life. And it was so funny, because before she went and interviewed for the job, she says, "Who's going to hire me? I've only been a mom for 24 years. I haven't worked in 20, almost 2.5 decades. I said, "You go with the enthusiasm that you had, and you'll get hired." And they did.
Wow.
And it just shows you how God works in the process, too. Mm-hmm. And you gotta pray through this, too, wouldn't you say, Matt?
Absolutely. Prayer has to be there. And it doesn't have to be a long time, but you have to rely on Christ. You have to rely on Our Lady's intercession and other saints that are so helpful and will step in when we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of prayer, you have a prayer wall on your website.
I do, yes. This is one of the things I'm probably most excited about, is this opportunity for people in our Dementia Rosary community, that I call it, to post their own prayers on the wall so I can pray for them, so other people can pray for them. And what's unique about this among many prayer walls that are out there is that you can go there and you can read a prayer and you can click a button that says, "I prayed for you." And then you put in your initials or your first name, and the person who left the prayer gets an email. They don't get your email address and your information, but they get a prayer that you were thinking about them, that you were praying for them. And I got to believe that's got to be amazing in creating an emotional network from people you haven't met before.
Yeah. And if you get a chance, dementiarosary.com, and click the icon prayer wall, and you will see what Matt is talking about. It's really beautiful. And I think it's enlightening. I think it's a great idea that you incorporated into your website. And website, you're also going to see a podcast. Speaking of post-care partnering, you have your latest podcast with Matthew Dinan, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah, Matt Dinan. Yeah, he's
okay.
So he's caring for his wife, Lisa, up in Ottawa, Canada. He's a Catholic theology teacher at a high school and just an amazing guy. I interviewed him for the first time about 13 months ago about his journey. And we reunited, everybody can see it either on the website or YouTube or through my newsletter. And we talk for a good bit about an update on his caregiving journey. We talk about the situation of medical assisted and it's called medical aid in dying up in Canada, which is very sad. So we touch upon that and the sanctity of life. We talk about frontal temporal dementia, which is different from Alzheimer's disease, but is another cause of these broad symptoms that we call dementia. So he's a great guy, and we have a great conversation. And then we for the remainder of that interview, we pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary of Our Lady.
Beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Speaking of activities and what one can do to help another one, what can a loved one do? What type of activities can they do for a loved one that has memory loss, especially in the early phases?
Well, I think you want to start with things that they've enjoyed throughout their life. It could be hobbies that they've had. It could be part of their occupation. Many times our loved ones with dementia, whatever type of dementia it is, they want to stay busy. Boredom is one of those things that can just, you know, wreak havoc on a person and on a household. So you want to keep loved ones busy as much as they want to be. So you start with things that they're familiar with, things that they may have done throughout their life, even, you know, hobbies and toys they played with since they were a child, and just adapt it to them. And while those who are living with dementia are not children and we don't treat them like children, many times they go back to their abilities, go back to that point where it's very simple things. It's things that they do with their hands, textures, that different fabrics and textures that they can touch. I mentioned occupation or their career, you know, if they use tools all their life, you know, give them a wrench, give them, if they stitched, give them some thread, give them some yarn, some things that are not going to be dangerous, but mm-hmm. things that they can kind of, that are very familiar, yeah. that they can put their hands on.
It's funny you say that. It brings back a memory. My dad would love to collect coins, and I'd bring him a little bag of nickels, pennies, and dimes. He spent hours just stacking those up, you know, knocking them down and stacking them up. You know, it's like, all right, Dad. But it's interesting. Gives them something to do. One quick question, Matt. How does one have a dementia-friendly church parish? What would that look like? Because we talked about a pro-life classroom just a moment ago. What about a church parish with those with dementia? How does that happen?
Yeah, so me and others who are really interested in this concept, you know, we see a dementia-friendly and the term that's starting to come out. I know I say dementia-friendly in the book. Something that's coming out now is dementia-inclusive, which I really like. Mm. And it's just that. It's including those with dementia, not just the person, but their family, and, you know, offering support groups, offering training, offering, you know, whether it's a parish nurse or just a, you know, someone else within a parish ministry, being able to refer to certain agencies medical providers in the community. It's providing education, reducing the stigma, because many times there's that stigma of dementia that, really hurts all of us.
Well, thank you so much. If you want to learn more about what Matt Estrada has to offer, go to DementiaRosary.com. Pick up his book, The Peace with Dementia Rosary. It is now 7:45 here on Wake Up. Come on back. We have more for you. Good morning again, 7:48 on Wake Up Tuesday morning, and it's going to be a wet one. Just a quick update on Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Nicholas, is over the Houston area, dumping tons of rain in the Houston and the Louisiana coastlines at this point in time. Be on the lookout. We have flash flood warnings all the way from Victoria, Texas to Mobile, Alabama for the next 3 days. Expect a lot of rain, and especially in the Baton Rouge, New Orleans area, they're talking 5 to 7 inches possibly. Lake Charles could get as much as 10 to 11 inches. And as I said earlier, Galveston, over 14 inches of rain in 24 hours. So this puppy's moving slow. Nick, get a move on, brother, because nine miles an hour is not going to cut it for us. You know, we're already wet enough. We already have enough things that we're having to worry about.
That's
and we have a guest that's going to give us some updates regarding that. So
that's right.
Anyway, be cautious out there.
Yes, be careful of water on the roadways, too. We're joined this morning by David Aguilar. He is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities in Baton Rouge. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we're very concerned about how this rain event is going to impact people who are already struggling out there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, let's start with giving us an update. We know Catholic Charities has just been out in full force before Ida, but particularly since Ida. So tell us what's...
Well, you know, let me start a little bit with just saying how much... This is a conversation we can have right now because we're Catholic, I think.
Yes,
you know,
there's
just something about the Catholic Church that emphasizes the importance of helping people at a time of great need. Mm-hmm. And I think it's rooted in our sacramental life, you know,
absolutely.
that the things of this world, bread, water, wine, those are in reality Christ's presence amongst us. And at a time of need, you know, being a Eucharistic community, at a time of need, and our mission to serve the poorest and people at a time of great need, you know, really brings us out and mandates that we are out there helping people. And this particular storm, Ida, has just really wreaked havoc in a way that is kind of almost similar to what happened in Katrina in terms of the numbers of people displaced, the massive destruction. And then what was really troubling to us and where we saw the greatest need is, and it's kind of similar to New Orleans, but maybe not as widespread in terms of the number of people. But, you know, we go to where we find the poorest. That's our mission. We serve, we proclaim the gospel by service to especially the poorest. And you know who the poorest are? The poorest are the people in the shelters. Yes. They have absolutely nowhere to go. Right. And there are people who were down in the Houma Thibodaux area who were in these warehouses and high schools, and they were being just torn apart around them. Mm-hmm. And they spent days down there without electricity, no plumbing, their pets in these buildings with them. Then they come up here, and because of the electricity and the plumbing issues that we've had, they go from shelter to shelter. They don't know where they're going to end up. Mm-hmm. But the need here in Baton Rouge, I don't want to decrease the destruction that happened in other dioceses and in South Louisiana, but I think we overlook, because of the attention that's been down there, mm-hmm. that the eye came right through here. Wow. I mean, Hammond, yes. Livingston, Holy Ghost mm-hmm. had a tremendous amount of damage mm-hmm. to the church there. Mm-hmm. And we've been all over. We've been helping people in Houma Thibodaux. We've been distributing items and materials in Albany and French Settlement and Hammond and Independence and St. Helena Parish. We still need resources. People can go to our website, CatholicCharitiesBR.org. And we need resources just as much as we ever have in previous storms. So.
Yeah, David, I got word that some areas of Ponchatoula won't even get power until later this week. So we can't forget those people that are in the Ponchatoula Hammond area as well. That's so you make a great point. Yeah.
Thank you, Gabby. I kind of forgot you were here this morning.
I've been listening. It's been
good
great.
To see you. Just to good listen. To see you.
Okay. So there are some things that you are in need of right now, in addition to financial donations. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, tarps are the thing that is like gold these mm-hmm. days. It takes a while for that whole blue tarp program that the National Guard and FEMA run to get mobilized. I know they are out there. I know that they are working. We've been blessed with the generosity of the folks at Lamar Advertising. They've been making available, and it's kind of funny in a way, but they've been making available used billboard signs, mm-hmm. which are actually more durable than blue tarps.
Wow.
You know, and so we've been handing those out and shipping off to the Houma Thibodaux area, but those are kind of running out now. You know, and tarps, we probably can't have enough tarps on hand right now. Yeah. And then the standard, you know, cleanup supplies, outdoor cleanup equipment, rakes, shovels, that kind of thing to help people that were flooded. And then indoors, you know, clean up to remove the mold and, you know, those kinds of things. So
okay. Now, what about a truck? You have a box truck with a lift or two?
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what, boy, my folks would never forgive me if I forget this. We move, I'm going to take a wild guess, hundreds of tons of material at a time like this. We're social workers. You know, that's who we are. We rely on people like the food bank, and BP Oil has helped us distribute food. Mm-hmm. But we push, you know, these 2,500-pound pallets of water up and down a ramp on a cargo trailer. We need desperately a box truck with a lift gate. There's risk of injury, and we just can't do it every day.
Right.
You know, I mean, nobody can. I know, you know, folks at food bank take a break every once in a while.
So David, so you all need a donation of a truck with a lift gate.
We would love a donation of a truck with a lift gate. We've looked as far away as Birmingham and Dallas to try to rent one, and we can't find one anywhere.
If someone listening has a business that uses a box truck with a lift gate, you could use a loaner truck, right?
We would take it. I will be there this afternoon. I've driven trucks in my life.
Okay.
I'm ready to go and drive that truck and save some bones and injuries from our staff.
So how would they get in touch with you?
You know, you can give us a call or you can go online. My email is david@catholiccharitiesbr.org. And for this, call my cell phone, please. We need it desperately.
Okay.
225-892-1974.
Okay, great. That's you heard that. That's you've got everybody's got the executive director's cell phone now.
It's been going out a lot lately. I'm getting calls from all over.
I think you need to say it again.
Okay. Yes. 225-892-1974. And I will, you know, text me if I can't answer the phone. Text is actually better than email and phone call these days. You know, we need a truck. We need a truck with a lift gate. We will use it every day right now. And it will be put to good use helping to relieve suffering.
Okay, good. In addition to a truck and and financial resources, how about volunteer?
Yeah. Well, whenever we do these distributions, you know, we need physical help. You know, we've been out in scorching heat, drenched in rain, and back to scorching heat. You know, we served about 2,000, over 2,000 people in Paulina a couple of weeks ago, probably about 1,500 2 days ago in St. Helena Parish. And, you know, picking up these vinyl tarps weigh 25 pounds, and they're big and they're an armful.
Yes.
You know, handing out buckets of cleaning supplies, handing out cases of water. You know, that is really hard physical work. It's also emotionally taxing because you're dealing with people at a time of great need.
Absolutely.
We serve people. We don't ask for IDs. We don't ask for proof of anything. Just if you have a need, we're going to help you.
All right. David Aguillard, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge. Check them out at catholiccharitiesbr.org, and we'll share his cell number and that link on our Facebook feed. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Quick prayer to St. Joseph. St. Joseph, spouse of Mary, virginal father of Jesus, and our spiritual father, pray for us and protect us. Amen.
Amen.
Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald, Michael Acalda with St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, Johnny Aber, and Father Tom Condon. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.